Hello and welcome to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast, where we discuss all things cricket. Visit our website, womenscricket.co.za.
Hi and welcome to another episode of Women's Cricket South Africa. And today we have Jenna Sill and Shannon Latman-Krill. And girls, I'm so upset. I had such a bad week. And now I wasn't even like uplifted by good cricket. What's up with these Proteas?
Well, technically it was good cricket.
Yeah, from the England side.
Yes, from the English team.
Yeah. Yeah, what can we say about that, eh? Jay, Mads? Yeah.
No, I needed some cheering up. I needed to see good cricket.
And then there was. You had Chloe hitting that wonderful 90. And it was 90, hey? 90. Yeah,
it's not just about three people playing in a team really well. The whole team should play well.
Okay, let's remind the Proteas that they mustn't just leave it up to three players.
Perfect. Oh, hi, girls. I'll have how a are you all doing?
Hi, everybody. Okay. Hi, listeners.
Hi.
Okay. Jay, did you watch all the games? You commentated on One World Sports. What did you think of it all?
Yeah, I actually only commentated the first game and then load shedding kind of messed things up for the second and the third. Also, I was busy with my own cricket, so I didn't get to watch much of the second and the third game. But I was following scores on ESPN, Crick Info, and England really stepped up. I feel like the team that we are playing against now in this series is a changed team from what we saw in the World Cup. And I definitely think that when we beat England in the World Cup, when South Africa won that round robin game, that we were not playing the strongest English team. So yes, we took the confidence from that and we used that momentum to take us forward. But even when they beat us in that semi-final, they still didn't beat us with their strongest team. And now they're starting to find their feet. And this is what international cricket looks like. And if South Africa can't step up, then we need to start looking at ourselves really critically.
Well, I think, Jay, if you look at the team, England team at the World Cup, there's not much of a difference. I think Emma Lamb is the new girl, and she'd in fact only played two other matches before this one, the first one of the series, and she hadn't batted, and she got given the opening spot with Tammy Beaumont, and Lauren Winfield got pushed down the order or wasn't selected, and then Danny White was put in the middle order. So it actually, the team itself is not really a big difference. I think this is all about mindset, you know, playing in England, it's home ground. And, you know, in my opinion, New Zealand, England's not much of a difference, a little bit of wind, yes, but that's about it. So I think we haven't arrived. I think maybe we expected from World Cup preparation, I don't know, maybe mentally we're not there, but I just think, and possibly the big blow of Lizelle Lee then suddenly retiring has caused this huge vacuum in the team. But you would expect, you know, you've got Andre Steyn that's there, you've got Laura who was making runs against Ireland, so we shouldn't be experiencing this type of, you know, not just losing, we're losing quite badly. And being a bowling unit, which we are, to then coming up and letting England score 300 plus, it's I'm not sure what the management are going to be able to do to fix this before we get to Commonwealth.
Yeah, I think it's also scary, and with we can't really call her the young captain anymore because Zinaya has been so successful in the role, in my opinion. But I do think there's a little bit of lack of leadership on the field. That's what I feel like is some of the main source of some of the issues. And I think the loss of Mignon Dupria is starting to hit. Her presence on the field, I think, is sorely missed. She's a force in the field. If she doesn't perform with the bat, you know she's going to at least save 20 to 50 runs in the field. And I believe that's where some of the difference is, not just her fielding, but her leadership and her senior role on the field, helping Sune out, that kind of thing. And I just feel like some of the other senior players aren't stepping up and helping with that leadership role. And potentially, obviously, I could be wrong and they could be doing the best that they can. But I do think that everyone is floundering a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think that they're trying to lose. I don't think that's it. I think I know England is definitely trying to win, absolutely. But I just think that our plans, if you look at the way we bowled to England, I mean, you know, short outside off to Emma Lamb in the first game, you know, then she hit, struck us for almost 180-odd runs or whatever it was. I mean, we just didn't, you know, we stuck to a plan and the plan just didn't work. And then we went to the second game and the third game and we did exactly the same. And this is where I originally, you know, a few podcasts ago, I said, World Cup, we need to be a little bit more inventive. We've come now to England. And again, we're sitting in the same sort of rut. I mean, we would never have thought Emma Lamb was going to open the batting for England. We would have thought that they would have stuck with, you know, with experienced Lauren, experienced Danny, you know, and now they've come and they've flipped us up completely. And we would only have known that lineup the morning of the game. So, and I think we weren't prepared for that. And it's, you know, we're still trying to, like you say, we're floundering around. We're trying to now, what do we do? Hopefully, Andre Steyn stays in the opening slot. I do not want to see them in the next ODI series pull her out. She needs to stay. And I think Laura, we need to give the faith to Laura. I know it's been a long time. We've been saying she needs to perform. But now what's happened, Commonwealth, Tasman Brits is now not in the side. I mean, now I'm like, you give this girl a contract. You say, we trust you. Now, what have we done now? We've now, excuse my language, we've screwed her. And it makes no sense to me. I don't know. Some days, again, CSA. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I totally agree with you saying that. And I feel like she is obviously playing against her and she when at provincial cricket she plays for Northwest Dragons, playing against her, she's, you know, she's a really fiery character and you can see that on the field, Tasman is. But and I just feel like this drop, I suppose, especially for T20 cricket, is gonna hit her really hard. And I really do feel for her because I don't feel like she deserves it.
Yeah, it's just for me it makes no sense. I mean, she was always the slot in if Lizelle's not there. Okay, and now I'm like, and now what? What are we doing? I mean, we've got to secure our top positions. We've got a contracted player. Why is she not in the Commonwealth? Unless I don't know that she's injured. Unless there's some major issue we don't know about. But then you also, you look at who else got sent up halfway through the series. We send up Delmi Tucker. We send up Masabat Klaas, which is fine because she is backup for Aya and she's backup for Marizan. But I'm just like, why send Delmi Tucker? What was the purpose of that? I mean, she's not going to play Commonwealth cricket. So why send her? Why not send Tasman instead? Have her come up, have her get used to the conditions. So again, I'm just like, what is the team management thinking? And this is why Hilton, as much as he's done a lot for cricket in South Africa, when it comes to the national team, for the ladies, he needs to step down. We need somebody. I think Chris said it in the last podcast. We need somebody from overseas. Pay the damn money. Pay it. Get somebody in. Pull someone from another country that has the experience to work with it with the ladies team. And there's so much potential. We have so much England people that are ready to coach and Australian women ready to coach. Just pay the money and bring these people, bring them into the setup. You know, have the experience there. And then also, and again, I think we've made a major mistake not taking Dunnay to the Commonwealth, not as a player, but as a mental figure for that person that she just has that little bit that gets players to just give her that extra bit. You know, leave Sinead's captain. I'm okay with that. But, you know, have that and all the other teams, big teams do it. When they go to big competitions, they bring in experience. They have people come in and talk and mentor these players. And, you know, even the men's teams do it. Why are we not seeing this? Why are we not? Every single time we have series, we right before tournaments, we make a huge mistake. And it affects us going into a World Cup or a Games like it is now with Commonwealth.
Yeah, I can see Danae being even at the previous World Cup with her crutch and everything. She could have been part of the team. She could have been there motivating, saying, girls, well done, amazing job. Just giving that little tidbits on the side of the field to the players saying,
exactly,
do this, do that. Because she's a great with spin bowling, she could have guided the girls. She could have guided them now in this England
series. That's exactly it. You know, you've got this youngster, Dalmi Tucker, that's now in the setup. You know, is she spending any time with these types of players that have been there for all this time? So it's just, I just don't understand it. You have this inspiring captain who is there. Okay, we might not all agree with her, with the way she is on the field and stuff, but put her on the sideline. She inspires people. She just has this knack. And, you know, Sune could also use a little bit of that comfort coming from her. And I'm sure she probably, you know, gets messages. She can see, you know, Twitter and all of that coming, Facebook and all the other social media stuff. So I just think that we're just missing. We need that extra little 10% that we can get on the sideline. And she can give it to us because Hilton's not doing it. He's not inspiring. He's not getting that out of... How does Australia do it? How do they, every single series, get time and time again, stand up and perform and perform and perform? It's because they have leaders that inspire. That's just the bottom line.
No, for sure. I think there needs to be a shake-up. We've lost Liz Ali. We don't have Mignon there all the time. Danae's not there. The feelings on the field is not there. Something needs to happen, and I feel a new coach can do it. Or in just new management all around. Just spice it up.
No, I think in the last podcast, Jay, you spoke about Marizan and the influence she has in the field. You know, she's already giving, she's already performing with a ball, performing with a bat. How much more do we want to pull out of this player? You know, she already suffers from a health condition, you know, and she pushes through and she gives more than her body can handle, you know, to Cricket South Africa. A player like that just deserves to have just a little bit of change, a little bit of inspiration. And, you know, look at a player like Chloe, and she's really coming, and I'm really impressed with her. I think she's played outstandingly this last ODI series. And, you know, and then a player like Nadine is now being dragged through it, and she's also standing up. But we just need, we need a change. We definitely need a change. And that's all I'm going to say on the subject. Let's get some change. Maybe we should hashtag change the coach something. I don't know. We can start a movement. But I touched on Twitter and social media. I want to talk about a bit about that, Maddie. And I know you're quite big on social media and, you know, you've been involved on that side. And maybe you can delve a little bit into the, I don't know, I suppose the do's and don'ts of social media and the frustrations. And I know there was a couple of comments this week and last week that have come out. So I told you to hold back until the podcast. Yeah. So I'd like to hear your side.
Unleash the beast.
I woke up in the morning and I see Twitter and I see Raf making a comment and then Liz Ali commenting on a comment, which threw the coach into the deep end. But then it comes back down to, if CSA can communicate better, the players won't throw the dirty laundry onto the internet for everyone to see. So that's my first point. Why couldn't it be resolved off Twitter? Why did it have to come via a podcaster, writer in cricket? Why did she have to bring it up? So yeah, need to be careful, girls. You need to create a persona around yourself that's amazing, but you shouldn't be putting your personal lives on social media. Your Facebook account, your Instagram account should be private. The ones that you share your family, do not put children on your social media. There's so many perverts out there, and now you're opening your stuff up for these perverts out in the world.
Absolutely.
And it irks me. I will never put a child on social media. If I'm a celebrity and I have all these followers, you know how many pornographers are out there? Sorry, I don't need
to. It's okay. We all understand what you mean.
Do not do that. Do not share photos of where you live. Do not make it yourself accessible to people. Do not put your personal life on social media. You're a sports celebrity. Surround yourself. Get a PR company to help you. Build a brand. Build a brand. Mignon does it perfectly. Build a brand so that people can come and sponsor you. If you're going to throw dirty laundry online, people won't come sponsor you. Surround yourself with a nice charity, a good charity, feel good charity, that people can see you give back. Post a post where you help the young girl teach her how to play cricket. Share things like that, positive things. But do not throw how much you drank this weekend on social media.
Because you also can't erase this. It doesn't go away. It stays on your forever.
Don't push your agenda onto the world. Like, you don't want other people to judge you. Don't push what you're doing onto the world. Anyways, I can go on and on. As I manage many social media accounts, you just know what to post and what not to post.
No, you're right, Maddie. And you know what? It's like, for instance, let's talk the SA Under-19 team that's now, you know, World Cup is coming. These girls, hopefully, they're starting to learn, you know, what you should be doing on social media and how you should be doing interviews. I know, Jay, you have a lot more involved there on the Under-19 side, and you know a lot of those players. And I'm sure you would agree with me. This is where these girls need to be, you know, they're looking up at the players, sporting celebrities, and they should know these lessons. You should not be doing certain things because now their sporting careers are starting. So they're going to then move up. And what are they learning from that? So it's just, hopefully that, Dinesha and the management team at Under-19 level starts educating our Under-19 players.
Yeah, it's so important.
Yeah, no, I think it comes down to education. Sorry, Jay, it does come down to the education.
Yeah, if you I just think about the first time I played Gauteng Under-19s, I was 15 years old, and the coach at the time made us do interviews at the end of each game, and it was just like filmed on a cell phone, and we had like a team microphone, and we learned how to speak like with an interviewer, like that specific coach asked us questions. And how to like make it politically correct and how to answer, like always keeping the team in mind. And when the interviewer says to you, you know, like, you batted so well, like, what do you owe that to always say, well, I wouldn't have been able to do that without the help of my teammates at the other end, or something like that. And, you know, I feel like that really grew our team into like the players that we have become, all of us since that tournament that we played in Pretoria. And I feel like that's so important to do, and it's such a simple thing, and it doesn't cost anything. It's like so easy to do, and I just feel like it should be done more and more.
Yeah, agreed. You know, because these girls are gonna find themselves in situations, and if they don't know, you know, there's certain team talks you don't talk about, and then it comes down to betting. You know, you have a lot of international people that, you know, betting is, like, let's take IPL. Betting is a big thing in IPL, you know, and a lot of people win and lose money. So, and once these girls start to get into these environments, and if they, you know, speak out of team lineups or, you know, strategies and things like that, especially coming to World Cup, because there's going to be betting, they need to understand that there's certain things you don't talk about, you don't WhatsApp it, you don't put it out on social media, whatever. So, yeah, you know, hopefully these types of things, these girls are starting to understand that, you know, maybe learn the example, but don't actually do as X, Y, and Z are doing, and then, you know, get these girls into a room and learn to understand that social media is here forever, and there's consequences to when you say and do things. And, you know, mommy and daddy can't save you, because if it goes out, it goes out, it's done. And, you know, these girls have to understand that. So, and again, you'd think that some of these players are adults. So, should not be airing their dirty laundry, you know. I have friends that do that, and I have other people that do that. And sometimes you should not be saying things on social media, you know. So,
No, you should keep it away. I rarely post personal stuff on social media. And my advice to young players, if you hit big time, as soon as you get that first interview, make your Facebook profile private. Make your Instagram profile the one where you promote yourself. And Twitter, go and be smart on Twitter. Just share good, intelligent thoughts. But do not be stirring. Do not take people on unnecessarily. You are creating a brand. You've got excellent cricket. You want to be a sports person. And being a sports person, you're going to get sponsorships. So be a brand that people want to sponsor. you're not just a cricket player, you're going to be a celebrity, you're going to be a brand. And anybody would want to, somebody who give back would want to sponsor that person because it's positive vibes. Yeah.
And I think also, like, as dangerous as it is, because social media reaches so many people, the possibility for good change is so broad and so wide that if you just be yourself in a good kind of way and you express yourself honestly, again, in a good way, then people can see who you are because it reaches so many people. And if you can, like, be an inspiration to other people just by being yourself, then you should do that. And I think it's important just to be yourself, but obviously not to, like, wreck yourself at the same time.
Jay believes that everybody is good and everybody
has, it's wonderful.
Sometimes some people are just a big old bitch. Sorry for saying that, but they just have that little devil sitting on their shoulder and always going to stir and always going to create some problems for other people because they are insecure.
True.
So strong characters are secure people who don't need recognition from the outside world. They're in their own world. They play their cricket. They don't need to say it. To ask the public, am I doing this all right? What do you think? Come, praise me. You don't need that. It just should come naturally.
You know, a really good example of that is Alex Hartley from England. I don't know if you follow her on anything. Yeah, ex-England player. She won, she plays for Lancashire, I think, and she won the World Cup in 2017. She was part of the team. She's got a really good message, really good brand out there. And I see a lot of her stuff because she also commentates. And she's really good at that, and she always speaks positively, and has good feelings. And I think it's a really good message from Jay, is that you want to be a good person all the time, and you want to use that platform. If you get a platform, use it for good. And a perfect example, of course, is the US women's soccer team. I think they have a perfect way of, yes, you've got some very strong personalities. Megan Rapinoe, who's, stands up for her beliefs and stands up for many other people. And, they were able as a team to come together and use social media to promote, what they felt was the right thing to do. A lot of people don't agree, but, they used it trying to be positive. They didn't bash the federation. They just stood up for their rights against the federation and said that equal pay and equal rights between male and female is deserved. And we all know that there's the court ruling or whatever. I won't go into that since this is a cricket podcast and not a soccer podcast. But I also follow them quite a bit, and I follow a lot of their players just because they're good people and they're trying to do the right thing. And another good message is Alex Morgan. I'm sure you both might know about her. But, she's now promoting to push the Canadian Soccer Federation to pay equal pay to their players because, they are actually Olympic champions. And they, basically still get paid next to nothing. But they've taken a sport that is not their first sport. Ice hockey is their first sport. And now, it's promoted it and made it this huge sport within their country. And there's players that have been playing a long time that haven't been rewarded. So, use it for good. And again, don't crush someone. Don't do that. You can say you don't agree, no problem. No problem to say you don't agree. There's a particular person on social media that I will often say I do not agree. But I'd also, I try not go too much into it. I just say my point and then I'm done. But, and again, that little devil on the shoulder, Maddie, you're so right. You also breathe. Once you read a post, breathe. Don't pick up your phone and start, I'm going to now lambaste this person. Don't do that. Like you say, Mads, you have a brand and you've got, it's going to extend your whole career. Just let it be, do it for good. And, it's for the right reason. So absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And if there is someone being ugly to you on social media, just for the listeners, there's such a simple way. You can just block them and that doesn't have to bother your account or you personally anymore. So be in control of it and know what you deserve to be reading. And if you don't like what you're reading, stop reading it, unfollow, block, and move on with your life. Read things that impact you in a positive way.
How old are you now, Jo?
21.
Yeah.
I swear, some days I look, exactly. Sometimes I listen and I look at Jo and I'm like, are you in your 30s? I mean, seriously, I wasn't even talking like that at 21. Anyway, so yeah, moving also.
It's all that interview practice I did when I was
15. Yeah.
Talking about the under-19s against Namibia at Willowmore and against some provincial players. Who were the provincial players they played against? Do you know, Jo?
I know a couple of them. There were 5 or 6 Northerns players, Titans ladies players, 5 Central Gauteng Lions players, and a couple of Easterns players as well.
Yeah, they beat Namibia, they beat the provincial team.
Well, if you if you consider that actually some of those players that played are not are in the A side, they're top league, you know, top 6 league. So, I mean, actually, you can pretty much say that would have been a Super League team that would have gone to Cape Town maybe, you know, at least their first 8. So that's really well done for their first big game as an under-19 side. I'm very impressed with that result, for sure. The Namibia, I thought they would beat them anyway. I didn't think they would actually lose to them. But I'm very impressed at that. I actually didn't know that. So I'm very pleased that they beat them. Yeah, kudos to that side, for sure.
Yeah.
So we have some future Protea stars in there. And who do you think we should be looking out for? Who's your money on who will be the next big player coming from the under-19s?
Joe, I have an idea of one or two, but I think you probably have more than I do.
Well, some exciting things happened. Just I don't know all of the stats because we couldn't find any of those anywhere really. But just from seeing a couple of players' social media posts, I do know that.
Well done, players, because you're promoting yourself, so that's good.
Yeah,
well done.
Yeah. I do know that Karabo Meso, the keeper batter from Central Gauteng Lions, scored a couple of runs, which is really exciting. I think she's an up-and-coming player. She's only 15 or 16, so she's really young. Actually, both players, both keepers that are in this squad that played against Namibia are only 15 years old. So that's Karabo and Simone Buerta from the Titans. So that's really exciting to see that the young keeper batters are so young. Also, it is slightly disappointing that there isn't an older one because I feel like at a school cricket kind of place of the game, the keeper is so important to be like a senior role. However, I think both of these players can play that. Especially Karabo, I feel like she has a really calm presence on the field. She's good with angles on the field, obviously playing with and against her, with her provincial cricket, against her club cricket when I was still at Gauteng. So I do know that she can play that kind of senior role. So she's an exciting one to look out for. And then Jenna Evans, I think, is also an exciting one to look out for from CGL. I do hope that she's in that final squad. She, I know, has taken a couple of phenomenal catches out on the boundary. She's really athletic and just an exciting player to watch. She loves playing the game and she doesn't put too much pressure on herself, which is something I really enjoy watching. Also a really, really great person. And then a couple of the other players that I know that some people are looking out for, Olukle Sio, also from the Lions. And then Ilandri Jansen van Rensburg from Northwest. She's a top order batter. She can hit a long ball. So she's going to be exciting to watch. And then the spinner from Western Province, spinner batter, her name is Kayla Reinecker. And I'd have heard that she's part of like the potential leadership part of the SA under-19 team going into the World Cup. So those are exciting players to look out for. Another one that I'm really excited to see is Diara Ramlakhan from Lions to be in that squad as well. Again, really, I think, a really great player, a really great person. And I hope that they can grow her and mold her as one of the youngsters in the team, just to give her that experience, even if she's just on the bench for a lot of the time, just to let her get out there and experience that. I think that would be really exciting too.
Didn't Diara play club cricket with you?
Against me, yes. She played for
Rainbow. Against you. Yeah. Rainbow. Oh, yes. Okay, now I remember. Why am I confusing her with the opening bat in Delphos?
Kiara. The opening bat in,
there we go. You see, it's not my fault. Kiara. Okay. Yeah. Sorry, girls. I'm confusing the two of you.
Kiara is also a lovely person and a great cricketer, so I understand why you might have confused them.
Do you know what's next for the under-19s? Are they have more coaching? Are they going to play any other teams? Anybody know?
So I think for now, it will probably be regional camps, the way that they did prior to this camp and then the tour for Namibia, with just the provinces that were close by practicing together, and then playing against some of the senior provincial ladies in a mixed team. That's what they did a couple of weeks ago. The under-19 teams won those games as well. Which is exciting for them. So I think that's probably what's going to happen going forward, and then closer to the time, a few more national camps, hopefully. The camp that they were supposed to have now before Namibia was supposed to be 3 weeks long. It was then cut down to a couple of days because of budget. Those are just things that I've been hearing through the grapevine, which is really disappointing from CSA. And I hope that that steps up and that that improves so that the girls can really get all the preparation that they need going into the World Cup, because if we look at the teams that they're going to be playing against, I'm slightly worried, but I know that if they're able to work hard and work well over a prolonged period of time with Denisha, that they have the potential to compete.
Yeah,
we are hosting the under-19 World Cup. We should put all our money into this.
No, because it's going to a new men's tournament. So no,
yeah,
that's
exactly
what's happened. They've just employed Graham Smith, so you know how much money they're paying him. So the 4 million that they pay him a year, they could have taken 1 million away and invested it into the under-19, but they won't do that because they're not invested in the under-19s yet. So, I mean, we must be so thankful that we have an under-19 women's coach. They're still riding that wave, so it's ridiculous, but. Maybe, you know, maybe December, January, they, you know, put everything they will then, and we can have, you know, proper practices and, you know, a couple of games, and maybe they'll do the Super League down again in Cape Town or Joburg and get them to play, at least maybe play as a unit, you know, get those 18 players or 15 players play as a unit, play against other teams, are good players, get them involved there, have them around that. And I'm sure Dee is trying everything she can to get these girls to be playing more cricket. Because she knows time out on the field is what counts. Net sessions is great for technique, but mental strength is out in the middle. They need that. So hopefully, but I love the names you put forward, Jay. I definitely believe, I've seen 3/4 of these girls play, and I definitely believe that that's, you know, as long as we can keep them playing and keep them interested and, you know, make them part of the emerging setup, which we should. And, you know, definitely someone like Olusiu, I think if she can, you know, carry through, and she's definitely a speedster and she's tall and she bangs it in. And, you know, we would definitely need that type of aggression. Jenna Evans, absolutely. I think she probably, to be honest, she could probably play in the emerging team right now. I think she's got the talent. And like you said, you know, she doesn't put that pressure on herself, and as long as she keeps that, you know, I'll be really happy. And of course, Karaba Mesu. I think if they can, you know, if her and Simone, hey, they can take those two keepers, because years ago we lost two amazing keepers because we didn't keep them in the setup. So if these are the girls we're going to put our faith in, we've got to keep our faith of them for the next 5 years. You know, exactly, and put them in, you know, right schools, right university, keep them playing, keep them interested, you know, guide them through the process, and keep them, and try to do what England and Australia do, and what India is doing now, is to hold on to all these players that we've put our trust into, and, you know, going to build around. You know, players are going to move on, some players are not going to stay to play, but, you know, discussions need to be had with these schools, and say, you know what, you are next in line. You know, 3 or 4 years from now, you're going to be the Chloe, the Sunays, you know, that are going to, the Trisha, the Chetties that at 16 walks into the national team. They're only a year away from that. So, you know, and if we can get them to be proper wicket-keeping batsmen, not just wicket-keeping. You know, we need wicket-keeper batsmen. We need a wicket-keeper to be in our middle order. We can't have them coming in at 9, you know. So... So yeah, so that's my little bit under 19s. I'm so proud of them. I have huge faith in them. Hopefully they're not going to be under pressure to actually win the World Cup. There must be a realistic picture put in front of them. You know, try win a couple of games through the group stages. If there is a quarter final, which I don't think there is, I think it's only a semi and a final. But if they can meet, you know, top two in the group and not be, you know, wooden spoon holders, I'll be thrilled for them. And I'll be thrilled for Dee because I know how much she believes in what she's trying to do. And hopefully she listens to this podcast and she hears us at the end. You know, I cannot wait to see this team. I wish I could see more on YouTube or TV or whatever to actually see them play. And then we can talk a lot more about them because I would like to talk them up until the World Cup and not only focus on the Momentum Proteas. But yeah, I'm seriously encouraged by what's going on, at least from this side of CSA at the moment.
Yeah, and sorry, Maddie, just before you start ending off, I also just want to put in that the emerging players that were playing B-League cricket have now been instructed by CSA to find A-League teams to join. So at the Titans, we have two girls from Limpopo who are on emerging contract to have joined Titans, which is really exciting. And they are now going to be expected to score runs at the highest level of provincial cricket. So if we can get that emerging team to start stepping up and start winning games, then I do think they're going to be really knocking on the doors of the Momentum Proteas and putting them under pressure. And maybe that's the change that they need. Because while I do believe that the best players in the country are playing for the Momentum Proteas at the moment, I don't believe they're playing their best cricket by a long shot. So if a little bit of competition is what they need, then that will definitely help.
Yeah, totally agree. Well said.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you for that. A good topic. Quickly, predictions for the T20s against England and then Commonwealth. Hope for the best.
No, I think something has to click for us before Commonwealth. You know what? I don't think we need to change too much. I do think, though, that Tasman is going to be missed. I'm just not sure what they're going to do at the opening. Dane is not there. You know, there's no one to push ahead, and we can't use 10 or 20 balls up in the first 5-6 overs of the power play in T20. And that's what our problem's going to be. And then we're going to be on the back foot, and then Laura's going to be expected to score. So I think we're going to go down 3-0, but yeah.
Oh my gosh, Jay.
I'm not going to give a prediction with numbers like 3-0, but I do think that a lot of runs are going to be scored. whether it's by England again, as we saw in the ODI, or whether South Africa starts to step up and gets a couple. Yeah, but I do think it's going to be difficult for the bowlers, as it has been throughout the ODIs. And yeah, if batters can just get runs out under the belt, I'll definitely be happy.
Listen, you know, I'll always back my team. I will always back my team, okay? You just know that, okay? I'm Momentum Protea to the dying end. Okay, Maddie, go ahead.
My prediction, Minx is back. We're going to win all of the games.
Of course, because your 22 is back. Of course, of course, of course.
Totally. No fear when Minx is near.
But you know what they say? There's lessons to be learned in losses. So it's okay if we're losing a series before the Commonwealth, but let's take the lessons from there and go to the Commonwealth and just play at our socks like we can do. Flip it, man. We play so much better. We're a better team than what we've done the last three games. Far better team.
Indeed. Girls, this is a short podcast. My dog is needy. I need to go and get him to bed. I'm joking.
No, you're being serious, but okay.
Thank you so much for this podcast. Thank you for the podcast. Thank you for chatting under 19 cricket. Thank you for chatting against England. And let's hope for the best for the T20s. And Jay, go and practice hard. Season is around the corner. And Shannon, how's the gym going?
Good, actually.
I hope it's going well.
It's going well. Thank you.
Awesome. You're looking great.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Thank you, girls.
Thanks, listeners.
Thank you for having us.
Tune in again.
Chat again soon.
Bye.
Perfect.
Peace out.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Women's Cricket South Africa podcast. Please find us on our website, womenscricket.co.za, and Women's Cricket South Africa on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and wherever you get your podcasts. Catch you in the next episode, and we're out.